Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 FY 2019 earnings conference call of NIIT Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. First of all, thank you very much for joining us on this call. I do know that it's a busy result season for everyone, and for you to have spared your time to listen to us, we consider it our privilege. As usual, we have the whole management team here. We have our two leaders from U.S., especially here to speak to you, Sailesh as well as DJ. We have the head of our schools business, Pradeep Narayan. We have a new addition in the leadership team, Bimaljeet Singh Vaseen, who is here today. I have the usual includes Sapnesh Lalla, who will lead this conversation, Amit Roy, who's the CFO, and the host of senior colleagues around the table. Hopefully we'll be able to answer all your questions. As usual, the format will be Sapnesh will start with a brief presentation. The results have been on the website for a while, and hopefully you would have gone through the details. After that, we can get into a Q&A. Thank you very much. Over to you, Sapnesh.
Thanks, Vijay. Thanks everyone for joining. I will open with a few prepared remarks, and then we'll get into a Q&A session. Do note that Q3 is seasonally a weak quarter for NIIT, and therefore I will be presenting information predominantly on a YOY comparison basis. Overall, Q3 2019 was the second consecutive quarter of 9%-10% growth versus low single-digit growth that we had seen in quarters prior to that. Many parts of the business are doing well. What's most visible is the 25% revenue growth and the consistent 15% margin that was achieved by the corporate learning group. The corporate learning group also demonstrated its highest revenue visibility at $255 million, up 28% YOY and up from $226 million previous quarter. Parts that you do not see in the numbers that you have in front of you are the improvements in performance in the skills and career business, specifically our deep skilling initiative called StackRoute has grown over 50% YOY. We've added a large global system integrator as one of our key customers, and they are looking at reskilling a substantial number of their engineers to become full stack developers as part of their reskilling initiative. During the quarter, a leading public sector bank awarded us a large contract for onboarding more than 2,500 employees. A part of that project was completed in Q3. New career programs helped build momentum in enrollments, and we saw growth in enrollments, order intake, and most importantly, collections in our retail business, specifically in IT and BFSI. The above, along with the new TPaaS mandates, we acquired two new TPaaS mandates, one from a large private bank and another one from a large IT services company, set us up for improvements as we look ahead. As Vijay pointed out, Bimaljeet Singh Vaseen has joined us as President of our Skills and Careers business in India. He brings with him rich experience in education and technology industry segments, and we look forward to his contributions in growing the Skills and Careers business in India. From an overall financial perspective, the revenue stood at 2,278 million, up 9% year-on-year. The EBITDA is at 200 million, operating margin at 9%. EBIT at 105 million, up 28%. During the quarter, we had an adverse impact on account of foreign exchange of 52 million, predominantly due to revaluation of cross-currency receivables, given the sharp volatility that we saw in the quarter. Our PAT was at 194 million. The DSO days have improved to 77 days versus 83 days, same period last year. The net debt is at 573 million versus 599 million at the end of Q2. Our ROCE, operating ROCE, has improved to 14.8, an improvement of 375 basis points from same time last year. Overall, still ways to go. However, happy to see improvements across our key focus areas of growth, profitability, liquidity, and capital efficiency. A little more color now on each individual business. Our corporate business, the revenue stood at 1,614 million, up 25% year-on-year, up 14% on constant currency basis. CLG contributed 71% of the overall NIIT revenue. The EBITDA was at 234 million. The EBITDA margin is stable at 15%. As we had pointed out last quarter, two of our customers are seeing temporary reduction in volumes due to M&A activity, and we expect that that will continue into Q4. Despite that, we are at our expected growth trajectory, both from a revenue as well as the margin trajectory that the business has had for some time. This was a strong quarter from a sales and front office perspective in CLG. One of our large MTS customers renewed their contract with us. This customer, a large technology company, was in the throes of a significant M&A event. However, retained their faith in NIIT's capabilities and renewed their contract for 3 years. This has resulted into improved visibility or additional visibility of $52 million over the next 3 years. Our focus on life sciences with the acquisition of Eagle Productivity Solutions resulted into CLG signing 2 multi-year managed training services contracts in the life sciences space, one with a large pharma company and another with among the largest operators of hospitals in the United States. In addition, we expanded our contract with one of our large banking customers. CLG, therefore, added 4 contracts, 2 new MTS customers, 1 expansion, and 1 renewal, resulting into the increase in visibility from $226 million to $255 million. Given the additions, we now have 42 managed training services customers. The large deal that we had talked about, which was in negotiation when we had met last, is still under contracting, and we expect to close this deal in Q4. Finally, a word on our large engagement with the Real Estate Corporation of Ontario. We are in the final lap of completing the first set of content development or first set of courses, and we expect to go live with them on first of July this coming year, this year.
Excellent.
This project is going on as per schedule, and we should start seeing revenues coming from this project as we get into July of 2019. In our skills and careers business, the revenue stood at 634 million, down 10% YOY. However, while the business has traditionally been, the business sees Q3 as a traditionally weak quarter, it grew on a quarter-on-quarter basis by 3 percentage points. The EBITDA was at 16 million versus 7 million same period last year. Some of the steps that we had taken to re-energize that business are doing well. As I mentioned earlier, StackRoute as an initiative has grown 50% on a year-on-year basis, and I mentioned has acquired a large global SI as a customer to reskill a substantial number of their engineers. During the quarter, a leading public sector bank awarded a large contract for onboarding their new hires. As I mentioned earlier, part of this contract was executed in Q3. Also, new career programs helped build momentum, resulting in increased order intake and collections. During the quarter, we also added two significant talent pipeline as a service customers, one large bank and a large IT services companies. Overall, I see some of the key initiatives showing improvements, and given that, we were able to see improvements in Q3 versus Q4, versus Q2. So we saw improvement, sequential improvement in Q3 in revenue versus Q2. In our schools business, as we had pointed out earlier, we have completed execution of our government contracts. We are now in the transition phase, where we are transitioning our projects to the state governments and are in the process of completing final collections. For our private schools business, Q3 is a quarter in which we do market activity to prepare for the decision-making quarter, which tends to be Q4. So we've performed a significant amount of market development, business development activity, and we are expecting a strong funnel as we go into Q4, so that we can have a solid Q4. We have built a significant pipeline, and we are in the throes of closing parts of that pipeline. We also launched a new set of math programs in partnership with Marshall Cavendish, and the initial response to these programs have been good. So from an overall perspective, I would say a number of visible improvements from a financial perspective in our corporate learning group business, as well as a number of subjective improvements, which will result into financial improvements as we go forward in our skills and career business. That was all the prepared comments I had. I'm going to now request the operator to open the line so that we can get into a Q&A session. Margaret, if you can open the line for our guests.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Manish Kanakia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. Just wanted to understand regarding the corporate learning business. So usually, what is the revenue from one client, an average, which we do over a year?
Okay. Our average revenue from, I mean, our total revenue across this business is approximately, I would say about $90 million, give or take a little bit, and about 42 MTS customers. So approximately $2 million per customer.
Per year?
Per year.
Per year. So, and what is the highest we would have won, anytime, the highest deal which we would have won in the past?
In the these tend to be in the $15 to $20 million per year.
No, RICO kind of deal.
Yeah,
and asking highest.
The highest deal is still in transition, but is expected to start generating revenues from 1st of July this year. And that's revenue at steady state is going to be upwards of $15 to $20 million as well.
$20 million per year.
That's right.
And that also at EBITDA of 15 approximately?
We don't talk about EBITDA margins per customer because the number of expenses are across the board. But I think most deals are at similar margins.
Just one last question. So usually in a year, how many, say, customers we approach or, say, tenders we fill? And so what is the win rate compared to...
We work on about 35 to 45 opportunities each year, and we win between 10 to 15 new customers every year.
All right. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just add, since Sapnesh mentioned that the margin measurement is best done at the margin of the project in contrast to the EBITDA margin where you have the SG&A also. So as the volume goes up, then obviously the SG&A gets spread across a larger revenue base. And therefore, there is a natural tendency for growth to be associated with small changes, typically positive changes in operating margin.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
And it also gives us opportunity to reinvest the improvements because of that in growth initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satish Bansal from Albatross Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to seek your understanding on the schools business that you have, and what it is visible from your presentation that its contribution has come down from 6 to 7% of the top line to like almost like 1%. I understand that you are ramping down the government business. Can you please shed some light on how exactly you are planning towards reaching out to private schools? What kind of a deal size could we expect? And going forward in coming few quarters, how much of this revenue could contribute to the top line?
Overall, comparing the schools business for a quarter is probably... it probably doesn't give the full information given, as I mentioned, that most of the decisions, buying decisions in the schools business take place at Q4. So while you see in this quarter the overall private schools business to be about 1% of our revenue, we expect that given the seasonality, it will become a larger part as we get into Q4. That having been said, we have approximately 1,000 plus school customers today, and we continue to lay the groundwork in Q3 to improve positive decisions with other private schools as well as renewing our existing private schools customers.
Right, sir. So, may I ask, like, on an average, what kind of a deal size you usually get from a school? And on an average, this particular segment, not on a per customer basis, but this segment overall, how much of its contribution can it make to the, or what would be the margins for this particular segment?
So, Pradeep Narayan, who heads this business, will answer this question. He's just passing
sure.
it on. Yeah.
So, the margins would vary depending on the product, but largely, if you look at the deal size, it will be about a couple of lakhs per school, so they're not very big. But,
okay.
But within that, our margins would be about 15% is what I'm
at the net level.
At the net level.
15% in the net level, you're saying?
That's right.
Okay. All right. And in addition to, like, just one last question, that I see that you have launched a mathematics-specific product. Any new products that are there in the pipeline that you're currently developing for this segment?
So this is a new product which we have launched for this, which will get onto the schools starting the next academic year. But there are no new products that are going to be launched in this quarter. The balance new plans are being worked on, and we will talk about it in a couple of months.
I think suffice to say that we do our new product launches in our first three quarters so that we are able to lay the groundwork for decision making in Q4.
Right, sir. Right. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sangeeta Purushottam from Cogito Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. My questions were also related to the schools business. You know, over the last 2-3 quarters, we've seen the corporate learning business do very well and be on track. We're also seeing progress in terms of the skills and career group. As far as the schools is concerned, I'm actually a little bit concerned about the, or I'm not able to understand the direction in which we're going, because if I look at your costs, you basically are carrying, based on current year numbers, a cost of roughly 8 crores per quarter in this business. So about 32 odd crores of cost per year. Now, how do you plan to, and this is really just at the EBITDA level, so if you, if there would be some depreciation, interest costs associated with it as well. So we really need to ramp up significantly in this business to be able to break even at the EBITDA level and also at the PBT level. Could you just take me through as to how do you plan to do that and what kind of timelines do you see on this? Because the way I see it, a lot of the progress which is being made, particularly on the corporate learning group, a lot of those profits actually get eaten up by the schools group. So when will that actually stop?
I think you have a good point. However, I would encourage you to look at the schools business on a four-quarter basis rather than one-quarter basis. As I pointed out earlier, the majority or upwards of 70% of the schools' decisions, and therefore a very substantial majority of its revenue expectation, is from Q4. And most of the cost that is incurred during the rest of the quarters, including Q1, Q2, Q3, are incurred towards ensuring that we lay the groundwork so that in Q4 we achieve positive decisions. These costs include costs with respect to products, product launches, as well as market activity in terms of sales and marketing. So I think from an overall perspective, highly seasonal business, and the way we look at planning that out is to do substantial amount of activity which results into costs in Q1 through Q3 so that we are able to capitalize on it in Q4.
Look at it on an annual basis. I don't have a problem with that. So are we saying that if you look at the costs on an annual basis, it's about 32 odd crores roughly. I'm just going by the numbers which are here. Are we saying that, in Q4, we will actually get a huge jump up in revenue so that a substantial part of these costs really will get covered? Is that what you're saying? Or, whichever way you want to explain it, if you're carrying 32 crores of cost plus depreciation plus interest per annum, in which year can we expect this business to break even?
This business was profitable last year and will be profitable this year as well.
Okay, so on a full year basis at EBITDA. Okay, and in terms of PBT, when do you see this breaking even?
So I'll
if I may intervene, I think our view is also getting a little colored and by the fact that there is a tail of, long tail of our government projects where the revenues have stopped coming. Last revenue stopped coming last two or three quarters ago, but we still have to transfer those projects out, collect our monies, make sure that the governments take over those projects. That is when we decided, we took a strategic decision that we get out of the government schools business, right?
Okay.
So that tail is also coloring the expense profile. Having said that, the overall capital allocation that we intend to make to the schools business will be in line with the size of that business. Over a period of time, because of the transition that school business has gone through, we have its size in terms of our totality has come down to a single digit. Right. And obviously, therefore, our capital allocation, at one time we had disproportionate capital invested in this business, and that's why we continued. But the good news is we collected every penny. We collected every penny from the government. Of course, there are still a few left with the government, which we will collect. So the important question is then to look at this business in totality. After that will be a wiser idea. So I recommend that we have this discussion one more time after quarter four, when we will also know the quarterly results and we know how the business has performed. By that time, the tail of the government schools business will also be gone, because that's the last remnant portion. There will still be a small tail because it takes a while to hand it over to the government. And then we can get into it. And then we can talk to you about what is our plan, how much are we investing, and what are we trying to do to make sure that the business remains positive and does not eat out of other businesses' gains.
Right. So in this year, in the so what you're saying is, in the 32 crores of cost, there is a significant amount which is related to the government schools business. If that is the case, is it possible for you to segregate the revenue and the cost so that we have a clearer idea as to what are the historical costs and what will be the costs going forward?
Yeah, ma'am, much more clarity will emerge at the end of the year. So let's discuss this again at the end of the year, and then we would be able to describe to you in good enough times.
All
it's sufficient to say at this point of time, we expect the business to make profit. Obviously, quarter four is wide open and it is still going on. But we also have done 3 weeks of quarter four already, right? So there is an experience which is building up, right?
All
so I recommend we come back to this subject. And I also suggest that, Sapnesh, we should spend a little more time on the other parts of the business, which are 98% of the total.
Okay. Thank you.
So, thank you very much. But thanks for your interest and questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyanka Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes. All right. So my first question is, in India revenue, which has decreased quarter on quarter, what is the reason in spite of exiting from loss-making business, and what is the future growth in the business?
Could you say your question one more time?
Sure. No problem. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah. So India revenue has decreased quarter on quarter.
Hmm.
Yes, India revenue.
See, I think the India revenue over the last several quarters has gone down to a fair extent because of hiring trends and so on and so forth. However, if you were to look at the negative growth over the last three quarters, it has continuously reduced from a negative growth perspective. Q3 also tends to be a weak quarter for the India business. But I think if you were to plot the trajectory, you'll notice that the negative growth has started reducing. Also, as I pointed out earlier, this was one quarter, this Q3 was one quarter where we have bucked the trend and seen sequential growth. So while traditionally Q3 has been a weak quarter, this year in Q3, we've seen sequential improvement
in skills and
in the skills and careers business.
Correct. All right. But even in spite of the loss-making businesses which we have exited, what kind of future business growth do we see in the next couple of years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think our first milestone is to get this business to growth. And we think that between Q4 and Q1, we should start seeing growth in our skills and careers business. And then once we have achieved that milestone, we should get on to a healthier growth sequence.
All right. All right. My next question is regarding the Turning.com. What are the current number of registrations we have? And what will be the revenue generation do we expect in the next coming 2 years?
So Training.com has now been Training.com started out as a specific initiative, and that's when we shared some of the numbers. It is now part of our mainstream business and has been merged in our overall S&C business. Suffice it to say that from an overall perspective, our enrollment, our order intake, as well as our collection in our India business have shown growth this past quarter, as well as in Q2 and Q1.
Okay. But how much growth are we looking at? Can you quantify?
Like I said, we've seen growth in order intake, enrollments, and collections. We expect the growth in these front office parameters to result into revenue growth Q4 or Q1. And once we've turned into a growing business, we'll start seeing healthier growth parameters.
Okay. All right. Just one last question. Could you give me some details regarding the recent amalgamation of PIPL Management Consultancy and Investment Private Limited and Global Consultancy with NIIT? Hello?
Let me take this question. This is Vijay Thadani. So as was declared in the scheme of arrangement, and this is as per the scheme of arrangement which was presented to NCLT, and this is to plan for the founders' family succession plans, where a trust-based structure was proposed. And to implement that trust-based structure, this scheme of arrangement was created. It has been through the stock exchanges, SEBI, Reserve Bank of India, as well as NCLT. The final clearance came in the month of December, and this is a very regular thing done for family succession plans. And that is the merger of those two companies whose sole investment was in NIIT Limited. And those are the ones which have got merged with NIIT Limited. And therefore, now the trusts, which are the owners of those companies, are the holders of those shares. So it's just to transfer it to a trust-based structure for family succession.
All right.
There's no other implication of this merger, either in revenue or in cost. All costs have been borne by the founders.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations on a good set of numbers for the S&C side. So on the CLG segment, wanted to check if the order intake was primarily due to just that large contract that you mentioned where you won a three-year renewal with one of your technology clients. Because it seems like the improvement in order visibility, if we take that change and then strip out this quarter's revenue, it seems to be roughly about 50 million in order intake.
Let me correct you there. That is not the case. So first, we are talking about visibility. Our visibility improved from 226 million to 255 million. I would agree that a large contributor to that visibility improvement was the large contract that we renewed for 3 years. However, that was approximately 82% of the total improvement in visibility. The other contracts that I mentioned were responsible for the improvement, for the rest of the improvement.
All right, I'm just trying to work through the math there, you know.
Ravi, just to explain, the word visibility is used in the context of MTS deals which are done by corporate learning group and which is global. And the India-based business does not use visibility. There it's an order intake and enrollments, which is what really contributes to that. The large contract that you are talking of, which contributed to a part of the revenue which Sapnesh referred to in India from a large bank, that would have come in the India part of the revenues, and that is not built into the visibility. On the other hand, the large renewal deal which he referred to, which is the global deal, one of the 42 customers, that is the one which has contributed $52 million.
Perfect, sir. Thank you. I appreciate the call.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Hota from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. Am I audible?
Mr. Sanjeev Hota, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
My question is pertaining to the margin side.
I'm sorry, Sanjeev, we can't hear you. Can you please increase the volume on the handset or speak closer to the phone?
Yes, yeah, sure.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, this is better. Thank you.
Yeah. So my question pertaining to the school business, is there is any one-off that we have seen this quarter apart from the transfer of this business to government? Is there is one-off attached to the loss that we had this quarter?
What he's saying is, are there any one-off?
Are right there any one-offs?
No,
not really.
Okay, so this 50 million EBITDA losses, there's no one-off attached to that.
There isn't.
No. Other than the
transition related
and sales and government.
So what would be the, excluding the transfer related cost, what would be the margins, apple to apple comparison, if you take the excluding the transfer related cost, what would be the margin of the school learning business?
On an annual basis, this business contributes between 15 to 18% margin.
Okay.
But in a particular quarter, to take a stock of the situation is not a good idea. Very much like in the middle of the month, if you manage to measure the margin of any activity, then it will not reflect the true character of that activity.
Okay.
It is a seasonal business. It is a seasonal business, therefore, comparing in any one quarter is not a very good idea. You should compare it over a 12-month period. So we could even do the trailing 12 months and you would see something there.
Okay, so school business margins, if we are going to have a major transfer happening in Q4, that will be the last of the major transfer to the government. So what kind of margins can we expect in FY20 and 21? So it will be normalized margin going forward, 15-18%, whatever say.
Yeah, between 15-18% is what I mentioned.
So it will be 15-18% margin FY20, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my second question is in the CLG part. Last quarter, we have mentioned that some transition happening in the three contracts has impacted some cost last quarter. And so this quarter, what will be the debt cost that has happened last quarter only? This quarter, we have seen that kind of cost in the CLG business?
Yeah. So, like you pointed out, there were three contracts in transition last quarter. Out of those, two contracts have completed their transition and are going to be in steady state starting sometime in Q4. One of the contracts, the Real Estate Corporation of Ontario, that transition will, to a fair extent, complete as of 1st of July, when it will go into generating revenue. Part of the transition will continue, and the full transition will complete towards the end of September.
Okay, so that's.
What I should also say is that in Q3, we acquired two new customers. Those two customers will go into transition in Q4, as well as we expect to close a large opportunity in early Q4, which will also go into transition in Q4.
So what kind of margin expectation can we have going into FY20, given that the major transition will be over, large contract that we have, the transition will be over in by Q4. So how can the margin is going to pan out in FY20?
So, as we have pointed out, our consistent margin over the last year has been in the 15% range. We expect the margin in FY20 to be better than 15%.
But any numbers to it? Are these 100 basis points, 200 basis points, anything above? What is the aspiration we have?
We've typically reinvested the improvement in growing our sales and marketing efforts. As I have pointed out earlier, on this call, we see substantial headroom in this business, and therefore continue to reinvest improvements in our sales and marketing and product development efforts, to continue to improve our growth trajectory.
Okay.
However, having said all of that, we will see some improvement in margins.
Okay. And based on it, the current currency rate, or it is the current currency that we are having, or what kind of currency you are targeting it?
I think, you are probably better at forecasting currency than I am. It's been kind of volatile over the last couple of quarters.
Okay. Currency given us.
In our calculations, we always assume constant currency. However, we see today.
Constant currency, yes.
We can't discuss the foreign exchange movements.
Okay. So the current statement is on the constant currency basis. Okay. And last question is on the DSO part. We have a very good improvement this quarter. So how it's going to fare in the coming quarters, because the government project is going to get over. So how it's going to pan out, going forward, and free cash flow is going to improve?
So, we continue to improve our efforts on collections. As we pointed out, part of the government team is focused on collecting government receivables, and we are also making improvements in our ability to collect enterprise receivables. So we do expect marginal improvements in our DSO, and therefore improvements in our free cash flow as well.
Okay. That's all from my side. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. My question is, what is the organic, constant currency kind of a growth if we have to look at from nine-month basis or the trailing 12-month basis in the CLS business?
The constant currency growth is approximately 14% in the first nine months.
If you take trailing 12 months, it will be.
14 months in quarter three. 14% in quarter three.
18%. Oh, 18%. Sorry. It was 14% in Q3, and 18% if you put the past nine months together.
So, I was asking organic constant currency number.
I I think overall, the corporate learning group is an integrated group, and we don't break out divisions of that group.
So, I mean, just to, you know, exclude the Eagle number, I think this number would not be as high as we are reporting right now. So, so the point here is what drives the growth going forward? One big deal that you said is obviously the record deal, but is there anything beyond that which we see is a significant near-term factor that should drive this number up?
Like I pointed out, we are in the throes of closing a large contract, and we have closed two mid-size contracts in Q3. The drivers for growth on a incremental basis tend to be closures of new contracts. We continue to close an average of 2 to 3 contracts every quarter. Those contracts contribute to incremental growth. Every once in a while, we close a large deal which results into step function growth. And I've mentioned, we are working on one right now. And then, as well as the fact that the real estate corporation deal will start producing revenues as we go into July. So we expect a couple of steps, step jumps in our growth, and those steps will be predominantly because of large deals, while incremental growth will continue with the 2 or 3 medium size or small size deals that we get each quarter. That having been said, last quarter and the quarter before that, we talked about a couple of contracts where customers are in M&A situations and have put a pause on the volume of work that they do with us, as well as the fact that the large deal that we are closing took a little bit longer, and that resulted into some lower than expected growth numbers. Of course, if those two contracts had not got into a pause state and we had closed the large deal, we would have seen better numbers.
Okay, and what is the ideal industry growth rate that you would benchmark to this business, and what do you think is the ideal growth rate one can aspire for? Not necessarily your near-term outlook, but in general, what kind of a sense you get from the opportunity point of view?
When we look at our key competitors, we see them grow at single-digit growth rates. So we are at this point in time doing substantially better than several of our key competitors, which include large learning outsourcing divisions of large outsourcers. That having been said, I think we will continue to be in the mid-teens, as we have pointed out earlier.
Remember, our size in comparative terms of global players is quite small. So for us, there is plenty of headroom to remain in this teens, at the teens level of growth. It may vary a little bit up or a little bit down depending on how contracts come in over a period of time. But if you plot it over a four-quarter period, you would see a consistent growth which will emerge. And I think the expectation for us is, like Sapnesh pointed out, in the foreseeable future, next 2-3 years, we do see this kind of a run rate and run rate of growth being there. Of course, the step jumps will put us in a different trajectory each time that step jump comes in.
Okay, and just one more question, if I may. From a school business perspective, since we have exited a significant part of the government business, almost all part of it, what is the new capital employed, and how much capital employed you might have freed up from this business, and what are the incremental view in terms of the allocation of this kind of a thing into future?
The capital employed in the schools business now is in line with the revenue that it generates. Like I have pointed out earlier, notwithstanding some of the payments that are still left, most of the rest of the payments have been collected. So majority of the capital employed really is in the payments that we are to collect. Other than that, the capital employed is in line with the annual revenue that we expect from that business.
Okay, got it. And thank you and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Mukherjee from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. This is Ashish Kacholia here. You know, you had indicated that the market for corporate learning group is about 35 deals annually, and the value of these deals tends to be in the $200 million kind of a range. In your interactions with customers, are you seeing any change in this order of magnitude of business available for bidding?
See, like I pointed out earlier today, we participate in 35 to 45 opportunities each year. Each year, or sometimes once in 2 years, we get into large opportunities, and we won a couple of large opportunities in the last year. It looks like we are we are in negotiation for one this year. I think what you said is right. We continue to experience 35 to 45 opportunities each year, with our goal to win between 10 and 15 new contracts each year.
Okay, and you had indicated that there were two deals which you would be bidding on in Q3 and Q4. So you indicated one deal. So, I mean, is that my understanding of two deals wrong, which were up for bidding discussion?
Your understanding is right. What I said, and I'll say it again, we are in the contracting phase of one of the deals. We have bid on two large opportunities.
Okay.
We have received a letter of intent from one,
okay,
and we are in the throes of closing that negotiation.
So the other one is up for grabs.
Again, that is the negotiation.
The other one is still in the negotiation phase.
It's still in the bid stage, evaluation stage.
Right, got it, sir. And if I may ask about there was some accumulated loss that was transferred into this company from NIT Antilles. Could you tell me the value of that accumulated capital loss?
Oh, are you saying that when we did the restructuring of subsidiaries, at that time there was a loss transferred into NIT Limited, which means
yes, the quantum of that loss,
carry forward. Quantum of that loss.
Yes.
We may have to come back to you separately on this, because we don't have that number right away. But we will be happy to share that with you and everybody else also. That's not
it. I think Kapil will be able to come back to you.
Yeah, I think finance will have to pull out the data.
Right. Thank you very much, and wish you all the The results were very heartening this time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Vora from Reliance Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, can you give more details on this other income line item? It seems to be ballooning every quarter. It's, the 9 month number is almost as big as FY17 and 18 number. So it's an expense and it's increasing.
I'll request Amit to talk us through the other income number.
This is the number is basically from interest and interest and forex.
Okay, if you could split that for this quarter.
$52 million of forex. Okay. And net 50 of interest.
52 of forex is also a loss, right?
Yeah, because this is on account of, this is basically forex loss majorly constitute reinstatement of unrealized BRs. So,
okay.
So as you saw, substantial amount of dollar GBP volatility between the second month of the quarter and the third month. So between November and December, in fact, even October to November and then November to December, you saw volatility in currencies. So what we build in, say, November got reinstated from a value perspective, a value of BR perspective in December. And that's really, it's a notional entry.
Unrealized part, so it will get reversed. When it get collected, then what price, what dollar rate we get, that that point of time will account for. This is an unrealized part.
Okay, and the interest component, you said negative 50, right?
Yeah, that's and then it's not that all of it is cash outflow, because after Ind AS, there are certain items like 3 years lease part. You know, you have to also lease obligation to be considered as interest, which are all notional in value. So this includes around 1 million of that interest, that around 800.
I think you are talking of deferred payments, yeah. Not lease.
No, lease obligation. So that is deferred.
Uh-huh.
So deferred payment, it creates a portion of principal and a portion of interest. Then interest part is notional. So therefore, the cash outflow is not to the extent of 50 million. It is much lesser. Which is less.
I think one more dimension of that perhaps in deferred payment. For example, for Eagle, our payment for Eagle was to be made over a 5-year period. Now that's a negotiated deal. But as far as Ind AS accounting is concerned, there we have to consider out of that deal what is the notional interest, and that interest also gets added. So as he likely pointed out, that that's not being actually going out.
Look at this out. But partly it is because of notional interest on deferred payment.
Sure. So that if you could just tell me your current cash balance, debt levels, what comes to the net debt, and what is the expected interest which you will be paying on an annual basis?
So if you see, the gross debt is around 190 to 200 crores. So our average rate of interest is present in the current quarter is 9. Which is 45 million is quarterly we pay interest, which is 180 million. So if you see the numbers, you will see the number shows 240 million. So therefore, the balance is because of the notional interest, which has come because of the deferred payment and lease obligations.
Correct. So, okay, and what will be your what you say, earnouts for this Eagle transaction which you have done will be maybe phased over the next 3 years, which will come in this interest line item?
The Eagle transaction is a straight deferred payment. There are no earnouts attached to it. It's not attached to any performance. It is just a simple deferred payment.
Okay.
So it is over a 60-month period. We have now completed, I think, 12 months now. So, yeah, 11 months we have completed. 12 months, okay.
Correct. So, another 4 years, would see an outflow of how much, if you will have that number roughly and handy?
Upfront payment was 30% of the value.
Just one moment, we're calling Kapil.
Upfront payment was about 30% of the value that we agreed to pay. Then annual two, over the next 2 years, the payments are 23% each, and then the last issue, two, it's 17% of 8.1. Did you get that, Kapil?
Sure, Kapil. Yeah. Sure, but just a request, if you could just split this line item further and going forward in the quarters, it will be better. It bunches up a lot of things together. The other
very good. I think very good suggestion. We'll separate them out going forward. Very good suggestion.
Yeah. Sir, what would be
your... We can build a site, we can sell this.
Sure. What would have been your FCF for this 9 months from your 70 around the EBITDA to FCF conversion?
We don't have that specific number with us right now, but I'm requesting Kapil to come back to you with that number.
Sure.
And of course, share it with everyone else as well.
Sure, that's it. That's fine to me. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Vaishnav from VD Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to know, in corporate learning business, how many customers have contract period pending more or 3 years above as on 31st December 2018?
Can you say your question again? I couldn't completely understand.
Okay, in corporate learning business, how many customers have contract period pending more or 3 years above as on 31st December 2018?
Okay. I will not have that exact number, but what I can say is that we have 42 customers and all of them will have pending contract durations of between 1 year and 5 years. I would say on an average, it will be a little bit above 2 years.
Okay.
In number, but value it may be higher. No? Newer contracts you have just started.
Yeah. So... we'll try to get that analysis to you.
Okay, no problem. And in the skill and career business in China part, what are programs we have launched and what is the revenue contribution? So can you share this number quarter on quarter basis and what is our further outlook?
In China, we predominantly work with universities. We work with some of the top universities in China where they outsource IT education to us. We don't break out specific China numbers amongst our SNC numbers.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Vaishnav to come back in queue for follow-up questions. Request participant to limit your question to one at a time. We will move to the next question. It is on the line of Harshal Gandhi from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving the opportunity. Sir, is it at all possible to move the needle for Skills and Career Group?
Indeed, and that has been the effort. As you may have seen over the last three quarters, the quantum of negative growth has reduced and we expect that trajectory to continue, the improvements to continue. Like I pointed out, the leading indicators are moving in the right direction. Our collections have improved. Our order intake has improved. Our enrollments have improved. And then this year, we've bucked the trend of Q3 being typically a low quarter. This year, we've seen sequential growth in revenue in our skills and careers business. So all of this to say that we are doing better, both in our retail business as well as our enterprise business. And we expect that these improvements will result into revenue growth over the next couple of quarters.
Thank you. We request Mr. Gandhi to come back in queue for follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Ruchi Burde from Bank of Baroda Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question was regarding the temporary volume decline that you mentioned. Do you see that this volume decline which you indicated could be there in the March quarter, but can it spill over to the next financial year as well?
We are expecting it to stabilize in our Q4. So we expect that Q4 will probably be the last quarter, but it's hard to tell. It might spill over into Q1.
Are these contracts?
However, I do expect the new business that we have signed in Q3, as well as what we are likely to sign in Q4, to start compensating for it.
Understood. The second question I had was regarding the delay in the closure of large deal that you mentioned. Was this one incident that you had, or you're experiencing such kind of delay across the board in our client conversations?
No, I mean, like I mentioned, every year we close between 10 and 15 opportunities. This being a large opportunity and this being a global multinational organization, it is taking a little bit longer than we expected to ensure that all geographies are aligned in the decision-making process. So I wouldn't see a systemic delay in signing. However, this one deal has taken longer to close.
I have a last question. In our skills and career business, if you look at over last 6 years, 5 years, it's been revenue decline, and the only year we had growth was not also a very big growth number. We have been hearing a transformative initiative all the way along. Do you see opportunities for NIT to move into adjacencies? Now, I'm coming from the point of view or the offering that you guys started recently, the TPaaS. Do you see can that evolve into something like a staffing business where the industry growth rates are high, and maybe we can, I mean, evolve or move away from our current revenue declining profile to a much more stronger growth profile?
So all the initiatives that we have on are to achieve the objective of improving growth rates and achieving profitability. So on that, you're absolutely right. We are doing many things to achieve that. We have been and we are staying true to our training and education roots, and we will continue to do that. Our talent pipeline as an initiative is an innovative business model where we are able to provide the right education to fresh engineers so that they are able to become productive from day one, and that is starting to resonate with several of our customers. In fact, I pointed out earlier that two additional customers have given us mandates, fresh mandates for this. I would also like to note that StackRoot, our deep skilling initiative StackRoot, has shown 50% year-on-year growth while on a low base, but it's accelerating quite rapidly and attracting attention from large IT services companies and system integrators. So overall, like I said, the leading indicators are moving in the right direction. And again, to reiterate, we've seen improvement in order intake, we've seen improvement in collections, seen improvement in enrollments. So all of those are pointing in the right direction. The sequential improvement from a quarter-on-quarter perspective. So all of these are pointing in the right direction. There is significant effort on and many initiatives on. We expect to be able to convert these initiatives into revenue growth over the next couple of quarters.
Thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Vaishnav from VD Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just could you please give breakup of business from US and Europe individually and rest of world?
Say your question one more time.
Could you give break?
I think it's a 60-40 in approximate terms. 60% US and 40% Europe.
And rest of world, can you bifurcate like in which country we are present and how much it is contributing to our revenue?
That would take a while. Europe, unfortunately, is built up of many countries. I think we consider Europe as one European Union, and that's the way we look at numbers internally.
No, I'm talking about rest of world. So in rest of world,
very little CLG business in the rest of the world. So CLG is a split in the 60-40 range between US and Europe.
Okay. Thank you.
Operator, Margaret, it looks like we have exceeded the time by about 15 minutes. So if you could look at the last one or two questions.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Ruchi Burde from Bank of Baroda Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just want a clarification on corporate learning solution. You mentioned that moving into the next quarter, we would sustain the growth momentum. Is it fair to assume that moving into next quarter, we won't have YOY benefit from the Eagle consolidation? There would be still some low volume because of the M&A related client specific challenge. Despite that, we expect the YOY constant currency growth momentum to sustain. Is that right understanding?
I think it's partly right. You're right in assuming that the fact that we acquired Eagle in January and therefore that delta would not be part of growth. I think you're also right in assuming that the slowdown because of the two customers that we talked about, as well as the fact that we have not been able to sign the large opportunity in Q3. So these two things will have an adverse impact in CLG, and therefore the growth in CLG will be muted in Q4 compared to the first three quarters.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, Margaret, and thank you everyone for attending this conference call. I know it's a busy season for you. Your questions, as always, are insightful and push us into thinking outside the box. We welcome your questions and look forward to talking to you when we meet with you either individually or at our next conference call towards the end of Q4. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.